Kevin? No.
It's the Dubuque Area Sports Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. As always, this is everybody's favorite coach, Coach Manaman, and we are back with an exciting new episode of the Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. We're taking a trip down memory lane to my alma mater, the University of Dubuque Spartans and the University of Dubuque 2024 baseball season preview. First year skipper Dan Spain is joining us. The Spartans are currently 6-2 with their home opener on Saturday this week. The Spartans are coming off a 29-14 season and 13-10 in the conference last year. They were a game short of making the big dance by one game, losing to crosstown rival Loras College in the conference championship. Coach, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun and great to catch up and have an opportunity to sell a new program this year. I'm excited.
I really love doing this. I love talking to all of the coaches. I don't want to say you changed colors because you really didn't. It's just a different shade of blue.
Yeah, it's more like Key West Rambler blue that I'm used to wearing that. So those are the only things I had really in my closet. Otherwise, it was full of Clark, my alma mater, my former program that I built over the last 12 years. I've had to find a whole new wardrobe the last few weeks.
You know, we talked about the transition and we talked about you coming to a new program. The first time I ever spoke to Coach Wysocki was the first time I ever called him to record a podcast episode. And wow, what a great guy. Has Coach Y helped with the transition with him retiring and you and your coaching staff coming in?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, Coach Y, just knowing who he is as a man and, you know, his character and the type of kids that he recruited, you know, that helped a lot with, you know, making the decision of, you know, of coming over here. And we still, to this day, reach out to Coach Y. He reached out before the season started, wishing us luck. And, I'm very blessed to be in a position to follow in his footsteps and, continue to build off of what he's been building here, you know, over the last 10, 11 years. He did a great job. He still helps us a lot all the time. I mean, his scout reports are phenomenal. He left me a lot of those types of things. And I think that says a lot about who he is as a man and how important this program is to him. So, yeah, we're just trying to live up to it and continue to build it.
What, if any, advice, or I'm sure he probably gave you a lot of advice since you two are still in contact, what would be probably the best advice he gave you or the advice that you take most to heart that when you were named the new Spartan coach he gave you?
Yeah, I think it was connecting me with some of the best leaders that he's had in this program. He told me he spoke very highly about a number of guys, and without them, this would have been very, very difficult of trying to figure out, you know, the new routine of how things go. And you have to rely a lot on your players to be, you know, disciplined and committed to each other. With this level, they're dependent on each other a lot of times throughout the season. So the better your leadership is, a lot of times the better development and the better program you're going to have overall. So a couple of guys, Eddie Roses was just a huge, to this day, he still has a huge impact on this team. And, he's been helping me on the coaching staff. And he does a number of different things, but most important thing is his teammates trust him. He did a great job of kind of blending the group together and continue to sell and keep the vision alive that we've created since day one. We continue to, pursue.
It's a head coach's job when recruiting to sell potential players on that school. You were very well known in the NAIA realm, a big name coach, not just for our area, but throughout the Midwest, and I would even argue throughout the country. How did UD sell you on the school, and how did UD sell you on the baseball program?
Well, I just think that number one is there's an opportunity to separate ourselves. I think there's some advantages here. I think the facilities are unbelievable. The vibe and the feel around campus, it gives you a real, you know, it's got the mixture of a bigger college, a real university type of feel, but it's also a tight-knit, you know, a tight-knit group of people and a tight-knit family here. So the facilities is huge. You know, having turf on our infield is a big deal. At the end of the day, the decision for me came down to my family and being able to, there is some, you know, some different limitations that we have Division III versus NAIA. I can't spend, you know, 6 days a week with them all year round for a lot of different reasons. But now, you know, I get to come home for dinner on a regular basis. I don't have to spend all day on the field trying to get prepared. You know, and we don't have lights, so I have to come home. My wife really loves that part too. So there's just, you know, timing in life comes, and I think you know when things are right, and it was time for a move. And I think it ends up being a great thing for everybody. I got a chance to leave without burning any bridges and having good relationships with people. And now they've got, you know, one of my former players and somebody that was on my coaching staff running the program. So it's phenomenal. Brian Cade is going to do a incredible job. I can't say enough about how much I love and care about that guy. So all is good. It's been a good move for everybody. But the school, we have a lot to offer academically. I think knowing that there's so many different majors and options, that's critical. But I've got maybe 12 to 15 aviation students, and that's really the rare thing for us. It's not a lot of aviation schools with baseball programs are really inviting or really recruiting aviation students to play a sport, because it is like playing a sport. It takes a lot of, you know, time and effort. They've got a lot of different stuff going on schedule-wise. So I've loved it. I think the mentality it takes to get into a, you know, into a plane, into a cockpit and get after it and focus and, you know, have poise in the moment is very similar to what you have to do pitch to pitch and, you know, standing in the batter's box or throwing up on the rubber. So there's a ton of great things. The facilities are on just a whole nother level, though. That's probably got to be the greatest part.
You mentioned about no lights and you have less contact with your players, and everything with you revolves around family, and you are a very high family character guy. And I know that when I left coaching, I had some young children that were coming through the pipeline. And I know with my oldest daughter, there was a lot that I missed because I was constantly traveling because of coaching. So I know what you're going through. And people that are fans of Dubuque and fans of local college baseball, coach reference Brian McCabe, Clark University's new head coach. He was on the podcast last week. Feel free to listen to that episode. Great guy, spoke very highly of his program, and they're off to a pretty good start right now. Coach Spain, you talked a little bit about the program, but sell us a little bit more. Talk to the people listening, maybe even some that are thinking about coming to the University of Dubuque. Sell us on the school, sell us on the program.
Yeah, I'll just say that I've got the best people around me. That's been the formula for success. You know, being in a position where Andrew Redmond could come over with me and knowing that from a pitching perspective and just a leadership and example for our guys, having somebody with such a great feel and a good dynamic between him and I, you know, of running and leading a team. So I just think that it's hard to find schools where there's proof in this, that formula and the security that you're going to have, that your kid's going to be in a position where he's got coaches that love and care about him. You know, understanding that we also have families and things going on. And, you know, Red definitely has some different challenges in his life that we pray and think about Everett. He represents a lot of what we're striving for every day, you know, that toughness and, the resilience that it takes, you know, just to overcome the challenges that life throws at you. So our conversations on a daily basis is about life. I mix, obviously, baseball focus, but the real impact of being in our program is I want to help prepare your son, not only to graduate and get his degree, but to impact his kids' kids with the mindset and the approach, you know, to being a part of a team and just how you go about your business. Life is challenging, but if you can break it down day to day, moment to moment, you know, make incremental improvements to start, you know, to start helping yourself get on the right track, it's amazing how things start to, you know, really snowball and manifest into great outcomes. So, but yeah, I've got a great coaching staff. The other guys that I've got, Jeff Rapp joined me this year, and Rapp has been a great guy to have around. He's a veteran coach. He gives me such great feedback. I don't believe that any of us care who gets the credit. You know, we just want to make sure that we're putting our guys in the best position to win, you know, and get the outcome that we all expect. But I've got great GAs as well. Jake Fiorito played for me. He came over from Clark to finish his degree. Jordan Goldstein, John Canavel's been with me since day one. And the team absolutely loves John and what he brings. And, you know, his experience in the game, but he just brings a great level of energy because he loves the game and loves the kids that much. But, yeah, those are a lot of the big things from a baseball perspective is I'm going to put the right people around you. We're going to help your son grow and learn and understand how he needs to approach situations in the game and in life. And, you know, we believe that the people that are around him, the teammates, are just great people as well. That's who you're going to spend the most time with. And as long as we're recruiting great kids, that's what the experience is going to be for everyone around.
You mentioned Coach Redmond and some of the things that his family's going through right now. I just want to send positive vibes and thoughts to him and his little guy. And I know the community, everybody loves Red, whether you're an Epworth Oriole or whether you're a senior Ram or whether you're a Loris Duhok, everybody in the community is pulling for him. And I know when I was going through some struggles back in 2010, 2011, when my daughter was diagnosed with autism, the best place for me to be was on the baseball field, because that was one place when I stepped out of the dugout where I wasn't worried about autism. I wasn't worried about her future. My only worry was taking care of the guys on the field, and the guys on the field only worry was taking care of me and their teammates to make sure that we could achieve the goal that we wanted to achieve. You've alluded to some of this before. I was looking at the Spartans roster, and I've noticed that some Clark Pride ball players followed you to the University of Dubuque. As a coach, what does it mean when players will leave something that they were comfortable with and follow you to the unknown?
Yeah, I mean, it's an honor. I mean, obviously it means a lot. It means that there's a lot of trust and belief and impact that we've had on their lives. I think when deciding on this, you know, making a decision to take this job, I assumed that some guys may want to come with us. I just didn't want to do anything the wrong way. So it was great that some of our better players, you know, definitely wanted to transfer over, and they're at a point in their life where they were, you know, able to do that. So academically and things being able to match up was going to be a challenge, but I mean, it's an honor. I think they know what they've helped us build as well. I wouldn't be in the position I'm at without some of those same types of, you know, those same players that have come over. But yeah, no, it's definitely an honor. I believe in them, and I think they believe in us. And that's a rare thing sometimes to have people that really believe in you. But I think we've made that pretty clear to them and likewise. So,
Coach Spain, I know when you heard that the job was open, I know I've been in the position before where I heard jobs were open and you almost make a T-chart of the advantages and the disadvantages list, and then you weigh them and then you decide on what you're going to do based on that list. How much of the returning roster and D3Baseball.com preseason All-American Colin Husko factor into your decision to become a Spartan?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there was a really good squad returning for them. There was a few guys I needed to recruit to keep them back, you know, from finishing their career up, give me another year. But Husko's been one of my favorite players to coach. You know, we really gave each other, I think, an initial level of trust that it requires to really start developing and take advantage of our time together. I think he sensed the feeling of the players that were around him and the competitiveness. And since the season has started, I've really just seen him a whole nother level of who he is. That, you know, that guy that gets those accolades really proves it pitch to pitch on how he competes, you know, between the lines. You know, we played a really tough schedule, and that guy, he's got a motor, and he can just keep going day after day, game after game. Injuries, you know, different things that, you know, nicks and things that are tough to overcome, he just overcomes them mentally, physically. He does whatever he has to get the job done. So I've been extremely impressed with him. It had a factor. There's no question about it. More so of hoping that I could do something for him. I was just hoping I could come in and help grow his game and help take him to that next level as a player, and as a teammate and all that stuff. So I think we've helped him. I hope so. I sure love the process of continuing to grow and develop together, you know, player coach relationship. And, you know, he makes up the difference a lot. You can make bad decisions as a coach, and guys like that, you know, have a way to overcome situations or to balance things out, you know, with just their exceptional competitiveness.
Colin on the year is currently hitting .387, 6-for-6 in stolen bases, 5 RBIs, 1 home run, and 2 doubles on the young season. Coach, what do you say we meet the rest of the Spartans?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Take us around the horn. Who's behind the dish catching, and then who else is around the infield?
Kyle Rady. So Kyle Rady caught the majority of games last year. We had George Sherlock, who's a Dubuque kid, came in too as well, transferred in from Southeastern Community College. Those two have been a great 1-2 punch. Competing all year long. Rady's another guy where I have total faith and trust in him as a leader and as a ball player, but he shows a whole nother level when we stepped on the field this spring. I've seen him at his best within the last couple weeks, as I've seen all season long. And I think it just goes to show when, you know, for him, he's got a lot of stuff going on. He's in his final year for aviation. He's got a lot of responsibilities and high expectations for himself. And when he has a chance to just be present, focus on the game, be in the moment, he's as good as it gets. I don't know what his numbers are catching right now, but he is absolutely throwing everybody out. All different pitch types, situations, back picks, you name it. He's been right on the money. So Kyle Rady and George Sherlock behind the plate. Third base, J.D. Schaefer was a transfer that came in. California kid. He's a big tough teddy bear. You know, we love the guy. He brings a lot of he brings a lot of great energy for our team. You know, he's gonna bring the effort that he needs to bring, the attitude. He works really, really hard. He moves really well for a big guy. Offensively, he got going a little bit this week, and he's gonna have a huge impact on us. But right behind him, though, is Patrick Rafferty, who started a lot of the games for him last year. He's going to spend more time on the mound up to this point for us. But he has continued to improve, even without getting a lot of opportunity at third base, even in the short season. And that's somebody that's going to find a way to impact this team, win a job, and be right where he needs to be when it matters the most. So I'm really excited for him to keep growing. Husko, shortstop, is phenomenal. But it's also great to have a senior behind him. Alex Sundling, he's been really awesome for us. Great backup, great team guy. Extremely critical for our guys to perform when you know you've got quality support around you. Second base, McGuire Fitzgerald. That was another guy who came over from Clark. Fitz is, you know, he's a veteran player. He started a lot of games for us at third base in the past, and he's got some great ability on the mound as well. So really excited for him, and he's willing to do whatever he has to do at the plate to help the team. Another guy is Matthew Wolverton. He's going to see a lot of opportunities too at second base. Really good bat, highly competitive. He's a young guy, but he's going to keep growing, have a big impact in the program. And then Johnny Blake and Aiden Elfring both split time at first base. Elfring has been hitting the ball as hard as I've seen anyone hit early on in the season. He's been hitting it right at guys, but he found some holes this past week. Finally, he's going to keep getting better. And then Johnny's going to have a big impact on the mound too. And when he's not, brings us a good, you know, left-handed stick. So our outfield is pretty deep with options. J.C. Kander has been somebody that I was kind of trial and error, just trying to evaluate, feel him out, see who he is as a player all season long. And he has just taken every challenge and doubled down and just competed and showed me that he's a real dude. He's somebody I can really trust in the box, in the moment when the game's on the line. So he's been awesome in more ways than just as a player. And then also competing out there, Justin Hauser, he brought us a spark plug this weekend that we really needed. Came in and led off after not starting a game up to that point and really set a tone for us early in the game. And he's a guy that's locked in, even on the bench. He's got our hitting chart. He's talking to our hitters. So I just love how our entire team has, and it has something to do with what's happening on the field. Center field, Xander Colon, he's from Puerto Rico. Xander, it's amazing how many different connections you have in this game. But I had some former teammates that knew Xander. I had some former players that knew Xander. And he's just a dynamic player. He's really fast, left-handed stick. He had led off quite a few games for us. Still trying to find his rhythm at the plate, but defensively has been outstanding. He can do some different things offensively, you know, to be able to be really competitive and be productive. And then Daniel Mahler's got all the tools in the world. This kid is strong, fast, can hit for power, really good arm strength. I think he had three outfield assists or maybe two outfield assists. One that he got came up and fired a guy out at first base on like a three hopper to the outfield. He had a big play, threw a guy out at third base. He came in off the bench and has really solidified himself to a point where it's like, yeah, it's going to be hard for him to ever come off right now. So he's got to keep growing, keep getting better. And then Luke Burgos. Burgos was hurt a lot last year with a hamstring issue. Those are tough things to deal with. You just have to keep battling through them. But he's going to hit in the middle of our order. So I've got a lot of different options, you know. And then Michael O'Neill is another outfielder. He came in off the bench just for base running this last weekend, and this was just the other day. He had two absolutely phenomenal reads that, you know, we didn't come out on the right end of the last game, but he put us in position to win that I don't know if anybody else could have. And so hopefully I continue to use these guys the best way possible, and they all keep making the impact where they can. So I'm sure I missed somebody, but this is a deep squad with guys of, you know, options across the board. And I just hopefully can plug in the right guys and put the right puzzle together.
Deep pitching staff, coach.
No question.
And we got two Clark University transfers, two local preps, former preps, in Charlie Yeager from Wallert Catholic and Johnny Blake from Dubuque Senior, who are leading the Spartans pitching staff right now. Let's talk about your pitching staff. Who are those big game guys where we're going to give the ball to? Who are those conference starters? And then how does the bullpen and possibly the closer situation look right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's no doubt our strength is on the mound. Johnny Blake, you know, he's an All-American last year, and coming over is going to be, I think, one of the best, if not the best arm around. He's getting better every day. Charlie Yeager has pitched outstanding for us. He's just really competed well, mixes 3-4 pitches in the zone. He's willing to double, triple up. He's really been he's found a level of poise and consistency on the mound, and he's very comfortable with his teammates. I think there's a lot of the comfort around you and the environment that allows you to perform at your best. And I think he's really found the right formula, and he's going to continue to hopefully have a great season. Aiden Elfring is another one he splits time at first base. Well, he starts every game right now offensively. There's no doubt about that, but he's going to pitch on the mound, be an upper eights, low nines guy, and he competes, throws a lot of strikes. We like him in any role. I think you can start any of these guys in whatever order you want. It's nice to be able to match up with teams and figure out who's going to be the best ones, going forward. McGuire Fitzgerald, that's another one. He's a dual guy. He's going to pitch a lot for us. Had a tough, he grinded through the first couple innings his last start, and then really found a rhythm middle of the innings and gave us a great chance to win. Shea Buskell is another one. He's a freshman. He's really impressed us from Cedar Falls. Just competes hard. I say a lot of the same thing, but I mean, this is a competitive team. I had a 6-year senior sent me in my office at 30 minutes ago or 40 minutes ago was talking about he's never been on a team that wants to win this bad. And I said, well, that's up to you guys to hold on to and maintain and continue to grow off that and build. So, there's a lot of really good ones. Christian Batista has been just nails out of the bullpen. I think he's got 3 or 4 saves already. He's very reliable, just comes in and shuts it down. Gives you a chance every time. Grafferty is another dual guy we talked about earlier, but pitched really well for us. Aiden Sullivan, and he just wants it for the team. He's a guy, he's out there, he's going to give you everything he has to win pitches, and he soaks up everything we're trying to teach him and the team. And he's a great guy that, he deserves to have success because of how committed to this team that he is. He pitched outstanding this past week as well, and he's just got to be able to maintain and continue to grow and expand his innings and the amount that he can, limit damage and limit stressful pitches. So Anthony Scanlon was another one who was a great pitcher for him the last 2 years. Scanlon is another team guy, going to do whatever it takes. He'll pitch in a lot of different roles. He could start, he can come in early, middle relief. He could finish a game off. There's a lot of different things that he can do. So we're excited to see him continue to grow.
Looking at the stats and the rosters in front of me, Coach, a couple things that really stand out on the mound. Charlie Yager, opponents are only hitting 167 off him. He's 1-0 on the year. Johnny Blake is 1-0 on the year, has struck out 17 would-be hitters in 10 innings to top it off for the Spartans.
Stick around for more great content, but first, a word from one of our amazing sponsors. Nolan Weber Insurance through American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor. Contact Nolan or a member of his crew at 563-258-5467 to request a quote. You can also find this highly reviewed agent on Facebook by searching Nolan Weber Insurance.
Coach, we just met the Spartans. They are currently 6-2 on the year. People, listen to this. If you want to go see some great baseball, go to the University of Dubuque on Saturday for their home opener. Coach, you've had an off season with the Spartans. You're 8 games in. So far, what have the Spartans been doing well? What would be their biggest strengths?
Yeah, we pitched really well. Definitely, I've seen a high level of competitiveness across the board. Our energy has been really good. I think I mentioned before, but I think both guys on the field and off the field, this is one of the first times I've had a couple other teams that were close, but this is one of the first teams I've been on where I just don't see a whole lot of, attitude and pouting and poor me type of demeanor. We talk a lot about controlling our demeanor to impact our mindset, and I think that's something where our guys have bought into that and being able to maintain a good focused demeanor on what we're doing, pitch to pitch, and and within the game. So, yeah, I mean, we've competed hard. We've got speed, and then depth-wise, I've got – at one time, I think we could probably start 9 left-handed bats if we really needed to or wanted to. But I also would feel really confident with starting 8 right-handed bats that we have. So I think that says quite a bit about the options. It's just been figuring out our guys, though. I mean, we've been through the whole season, you know, in the off season and leading up to this point. But I've learned more about our players in the last 8 games than I could have ever learned all year long. So it's really just continuing to learn and understand, you know, what makes them go and what drives them and gets them in the right place to compete. So, but yeah, we've got good depth. There's no doubt about it.
Now the Spartans currently do have 2 losses on the young season. I know when I coached, I learned more about my team and more about my guys after a loss. So what have you picked up from the 2 Spartan losses, some things that the Spartans need to improve on, that they need to get better at moving forward?
Yeah, we need to catch the ball a little bit better. I mean, to be really basic at it, we just didn't make a couple plays that we should have. You know, at the same time, I think there was different opportunities throughout the game where I didn't really go with my gut. And I think I've told the team this pretty clearly afterwards, is this, that's the last time I do that. I have to trust my gut and trust my intuition of what we need to be doing, whether it's bunting or not bunting or stealing or not stealing or what pitchers are coming or going. We've got to just really have faith and trust that we're all doing our absolute best, knowing that we're all prepared to make the best decision possible. But this game is so hard. I mean, it is people don't comprehend how hard it is to win. And when you're talking about a 9-inning game, there's so many different players that have to perform or at least make an impact in the game somehow. So I think it's just continuing to grow. There's little things here and there. I think, you know, the other thing too is identifying who is really out there to win, who really hates losing bad enough, you know, and do you have an entire team out there that is doing everything they possibly can to give their best each pitch because they respect and they have discipline towards the difficulty of the game. And I think that's really what it comes down to when you really look at, well, how do you eliminate 2 losses? Well, I think in some of our wins, we could have continued to push and continue to focus pitch to pitch so we didn't create bad habits that then lead into the games that, you know, they don't go your way. And so, you know, when you're hitting the ball hard, just keep hitting it hard. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good things about our team, but there's some things we still need to get figured out. I'd say weakness wise, it just takes us a little bit of time to get going offensively. It's a positive thing as well. I think we show some plate discipline and some patience. We just got to make sure that when we get to 2 strike, you know, we're competing to win one more pitch and competing enough to make it stressful on that pitcher. When you have an at-bat, it creates no stress, whether you're not attacking a pitch over the heart of the plate or you're not fighting off a close pitch up in the zone, whatever it might be, you're creating very stress-free pitches. And we need to make those stressful. We need to make it very difficult and understand we're ready to attack if you leave something over the heart. You know, take advantage of mistakes.
Coach Spain, they used to say, I don't know if this is still the case, it takes a coach roughly 3 to 5 years to turn around a program or put his stamp on the program. And when I say turn around, I don't want that to have a negative connotation because the Spartans were a game away from a conference championship last year in the tournament. But with the transfer portal and that sort of thing, it's changed. You come into a situation, there's some seniors on the roster, guys that you did not recruit, and sometimes you have some bad eggs that they had things a certain way for so long, and you come in and you try to change things or you put your stamp on it. Hopefully you didn't have any of that with the Spartans, but what do you expect from the senior class, and how has the senior class helped you with this transition, maybe keeping some of the good things that Coach Y had and his staff put in place, and then maybe tightening up on some things that you bring to the program that you've had installed in your coaching philosophy for many years?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would say, you know, I don't have 3 to 5 year expectations with this team or just in general. I mean, I've got right here right now, and I think this team, a lot of those things that you mentioned and challenges that some coaches would have to overcome, I've been blessed with a group of guys that's just really bought it. You know, me and Coach Y are different personality-wise. I think, like, I talk a lot more, you know, but Coach Y has such a great presence and experience within the game that these guys have been exposed to throughout these years. And now it's just, you know, my opportunity and our time as a program to just set those goals and expectations even higher. And yes, I mean, we have to continue to recruit and bring in, you know, what would be quote unquote our guys. But I mean, I love these guys that I have. These are my guys at this point, as much as far as yes, me. And I am very lucky to have a group of guys. I can't tell you if there's one on this whole roster that I don't love, Coach, and I don't feel honored that they want to be on this team as seniors. You know, I feel responsible to, you know, reach my own expectations, but also theirs too. I mean, I think they feel what they're capable as a team, and they've shown nothing but trust and faith. I mean, I have seniors sitting on the bench next to me that are engaged in the game. I have seniors that played every game last year that have not had much opportunity or a start really this year, and they are as good of an attitude and as committed to this team and what we're trying to establish here. So I believe in manifesting a lot of the right players that want to be in this program. I believe that these players, how they perform is based off of, like, how we get their demeanor in a good place, you know, how we teach them to embrace the toughest moments. I play a podcast during pregame a lot of times, you know, the audiobook Relentless, things like that, just teaching yourself to be able to think a little bit better in tough moments and handle pressure. But yeah, you know, actually right now we play Eye of the Tiger, that entire soundtrack. It's like brainwashed into them at this point, but it gets a little annoying at practice after a while, but I think our guys have really bought into just kind of what the song means. And I just kind of the vibe that it creates, you know, around us as competitors and being able to get knocked down and still fight and get up and get after it and stick with the battle. You still got to get the last out. You still got to compete this next pitch, no matter how good or bad it is. And just trying to get them to break it down and be present, be in the moment, eliminate some of the other challenges and things that they think are big deals that are holding them back in life. And just trying to create the best experience and environment I can. But these seniors are great. I have nothing but grateful for, you know, having a chance to coach this group and Coach Y for leaving me in a good position.
Coach, a couple things you mentioned that I'd like to piggyback on here. First of all, you mentioned Relentless. There is a song by a Canadian rock band that I stumbled across called the Arkells, and they have a song called Relentless. Check it out. Great song. Also, you mentioned your expectations. You want to put your stamp on it right now, and your goal is to win right now. So what are your expectations for the 2024 Spartans?
Well, number one is just to get the most out of ourselves individually, get us to a point where we're willing to sacrifice what we want for the good of the team. And the more guys in the team that are able to do that and that have proven to me and sustained it throughout a season, you know, we expect to play and win a championship. I believe we've got all the pieces and the players and a lot of the things that we need. But there's also a very competitive conference across the board. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of really good coaches. But I just have total faith and belief in my team. I don't want to lose the last game of the year. You know, I have to win the last game of the year. And that's what we're planning on. That's how we're approaching each day. We're arranging and trying to figure out our pitching rotation and where we're going to be able to play a really tough schedule. We just went down to Florida and played 5 games in 3 days. It wasn't a vacation. You know, we weren't going down there for a spring break. We went down there on a business trip, and that challenge, not quite probably being in the best, I think we could be in a little better shape overall to handle that many games, but it's difficult. But it showed us that's what it's going to be in tournament play. Sometimes once you get to that point in the season, it's the fatigue and the depth that's really going to, you know, make or break you. So I think we're preparing them throughout the season, you know, to put this team on a great trajectory and compete for a championship.
I remember this summer I was on a bike ride and my wrist was going crazy and I had no idea what was going on. So I pulled my pedal bike, my mountain bike over, and it was a whole bunch of text messages from a lot of different people breaking the news to me that you were going to be the new skipper at the University of Dubuque. And I sent you a text and then I continued on my bike ride. And then when my bike ride was over, your response and your expectation hasn't changed since that summer day. And it was, I'm here to win a championship. And I hope you do that as a proud alumni and also for the area. Coach, this podcast does have a grassroots local community. It is called the Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. So we would be doing the former preps a disservice if we didn't talk about them. I'm going to throw out a name of a former local prep, and I just want you to spitfire some of the first thoughts that come to your mind when I say their name. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Johnny Blake, transfer from Clark U, who prepped at Dubuque Senior.
Poise.
Charlie Yeager, transfer from Clark U, who prepped at Wallert Catholic.
Competitor.
Let's talk about this guy a little bit. I thought it was the different Simon, but this is the basketball superstar. I just saw he was an all-conference selection. He did play baseball at Cascade. He is very prominent player for the Cascade Reds in the semi-pro area. Let's talk a little bit about Brock Simon. What does he bring to the team?
You know, Brock has been trying to win a championship on the basketball court, so it's been great to watch their team. They've got postseason play here coming up again. I'm not sure exactly what the schedule is, but once his basketball season finishes up, he'll have an opportunity to focus on baseball. I coach Bryce, you know, his older brother, and Brock is somebody I've played against and I've seen play quite a bit over the last few summers. Really impressed with just who he is as a competitor as well. He's got confidence on the mound, toughness at the plate. So he's got a lot of different things that he can add to this team. The way I look at this team is a lot of guys already have some of a relationship with him, which is huge for him, but he's going to come in here with confidence and he'll say, Coach, where do you need me? What do you want me to do? And how can I help this team win? So he's somebody that we're excited to be able to add to the mix, you know, at a good time, probably by the time we're rolling here into conference.
You mentioned him earlier behind the plate, George Sherlock, who prepped at Dubuque Hempstead.
Yeah, George has gotten better and better. I am so proud of him. He just got to keep pursuing greatness. I think for him, you know, all of us, when we go into college, you know, we know when we're good enough, but then being able to step between the lines and play this game and take a deep breath and be able to relax enough to perform the way you know how to perform is something he's continued to work on. And he's got great leadership around him. Him and Rady push each other every day. They went back and forth as far as who's the starter. They're both incredibly important for us and are going to have huge roles, you know, going throughout the season. But, yeah, George is really continuing to improve his game. He's coachable. He's willing to do whatever it takes.
Having two catchers that can play is not like having two quarterbacks or two closers. You know what they say? If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. And if you have two closers, you have no closers. You need two catchers. I would even argue, especially in a college season, you need to have three catchers with how banged up they can get.
Yeah, if not four. I mean, a lot of times your top catchers are going to be in the dugout. They've got other roles within, you know, paying attention to the what's going on in the game or hitting charts, catching charts. So you got to have somebody in the bullpen as well. And we've got some really good ones. Shea Busco is one, but he's going to be spending a lot more time, you know, pitching for us. But Ryan Hamilton out of Rockton, Illinois is another kid who's going to play a lot for us someday, you know, and I think the experience he's going to get developing behind some of these guys, he's going to be ready sooner than later.
What can you tell us about Ozzie Bacon, who prepped at Dubuque Hempstead?
Ozzie has just really soaked up a lot of our coaching. You know, he has great conversation, asks really good questions. I think his demeanor has improved so much. And I think that just what I like about it is you see an improvement on the mound in a competitive environment. And I think it really makes a big impact for him off the field too. They start to, you know, they start to walk with their head a little bit higher. They start to carry themselves with the confidence that they need to perform. And, you know, he's somebody I think has gotten better and better. He's got all the stuff. It's just getting his mind in a good spot, pitch to pitch, breaking things down, not worrying about what's next or what happened before, but just being present and in the moment. I mean, it's say it a lot, but it's pretty much the key to all of this. It's just very difficult to do, and it's easy to lose track of, you know, the right mindset.
And then the last local player on your roster, Cade Reisner, who prepped at Dubuque Hempstead.
Yeah, Cade came in a semester, and, you know, Cade's somebody I've been around, you know, throughout the last few years. He trained with a lot of the best players in this community. He's got great friendships, relationships, and I think when you put yourself around those types of people, it rubs off on you, and it gets the most out of you. So Cade coming in, he's as reliable as it gets defensively. And when you look at a team who, you know, if you lose a game by making errors, you know, a lot of times you look at what do we need to do differently. And those guys, players like him, are going to get their opportunities sometimes off of other people's mistakes. And then what do you do when you get that? Do you hold on to it? You know, do you capture that moment or do you just let it go? And do you not, you know, respond the way you need to? Because things only come so often, you know, opportunities, just like this job and looking at different things, you've got to take them all seriously because things don't always come, you know, in the right time for you. It's a lot of times you got to make it the right time.
You also do have some local preps, former preps, and also former local coaches who are also on the staff as well. Your main assistant, Coach Andrew Redmond, former Clark U coach, former Clark U player, former standout at Dubuque Hempstead. He's with you now at the University of Dubuque. What can you tell us about Red and what he brings to the program?
Oh, I love Red. I mean, we've grown such a great relationship, and, you know, I think we feed off each other and help to get the best out of each other and get the most out of our team. There's nobody I trust more. And nobody I'd want more in my, you know, on my side throughout these seasons and competing with. That had a lot to do with making the decision too, is knowing that you're going to have the support to have the staff and the people around you. But Red's a stud. I can't say enough about him. You know, and he's really, I just think him and I have both, like, you know, we're Spartans through and through now. I think that's the thing, you know, it's like, how long is it going to take to, like, really be ingrained and committed and all about this? And I'm in love with this opportunity. This school is exactly where we need to be. And both of us are excited to help, you know, not only – we're excited to help grow the university, too. I think we can make an impact. And but in the meantime, we got to win some games.
Former Clark University coach, former manager – of the Key West Ramblers. I've heard he's the new manager of the Key West Ramblers as well. And I will say, should be a member of the Dubuque County Hall of Fame, Coach Johnny Knobel. What can you tell us about Johnny?
Oh, yeah, he's been with me since day one. I mean, you only know so many people in this world that would do anything for you. You know, I could call him in the middle of the night, need something, he's going to come through. So I just love Johnny, what he brings to the team. Our players really embrace, you know, what he brings, and They respect his baseball knowledge, but also, you know, he just has expectations for the energy and the effort that our guys need to bring. And when I'm out at coaching third and doing different things, and, you know, he's continuing to get guys excited, energized, and he also keeps it loose. A lot of times he doesn't realize he's joking, but he's just got such a way about him that it ends up getting all the guys cracked up, and they're always telling Johnny stories. So, yeah, just adding to the memories, you know.
Last local tie to the University of Dubuque Spartans before we ask you that last question before we hit into that podcast-killing double play. Current Dubuque Hempstead varsity coach and semi-pro Dubuque County Hall of Famer as well, Coach Jeff Rapp. First year in the program. I believe it might even be his first year coaching college baseball. What has he provided to the program?
Yeah, I mean, I knew Rapp a little bit over the years of knowing him, but, you know, Red had a really good relationship with him, knew him really well, much closer, and Red said that he was interested, and I'm like, yeah, definitely. We want anybody that can help us and bring something great to our program, and, I mean, he has been just incredibly valuable. For me as a coach, being able to bounce stuff off him, you know, as a head coach, and he gives me a lot of reassurance, and he also is willing to kind of just stare at me a little bit longer and see if I want to second guess something or might want to adjust something. It's like he's got great feel, and he started to understand what I expect, and he also he knows that he has the freedom, you know, to coach our guys up and coach them hard on what his knowledge is as a game. So, you know, him being an alum too, you know, it's been really awesome having him on the staff. Helps me with my outfielders, has made them all significantly better, and you know, is going to spend some time coaching first as well, and help training my other coaches. I got a couple of GAs, and you know, we all kind of feed off each other. But Jeff Rapp has become one of my really good friends, and I'm excited to have him on our coaching staff.
Dear friend of mine, coached with him for many years. He coached me for many years as well. I'm curious. My biggest complaint about him was he bunted way too much. When I don't believe in bunting. I can count on one hand how many times I gave the bunt signal in my 20 years of coaching. Are you a bunter, or are you a let's hope for a walk and a 3-run home run type of guy like I was?
I'm a winner, Nick. I got to do what it takes to win. And I have had teams where we don't bunt at all, and I've had teams where we bunted way too much. I think you got to have a feel for what your team is, and you got to adapt your philosophy. You cannot be stubborn as a leader and just say, this is how it's going to be, and because you're just not going to maximize each team. You know, I believe in every team is capable of, you know, competing at the highest level if you can figure out the right formula that they can perform in, score runs. So I believe we dropped a game that we should have won because we had a 2-run lead and I didn't bunt guys over to take potentially a 4-run lead, which is statistically a big impact winning percentage-wise. So I'll bunt when sabermetrics actually plays into my favor from the standpoint of, like, scoring. Not really, like, you know, hitting philosophy, but if we score first, our chances of winning go up significantly. Well, we haven't done that very much this year. We've been a little slow starting and still found a way to go 6-2, which isn't, you know, meeting expectations. But I could go back to certain situations where we could have got an easy RBI. We got third baseman playing in left field and runner on third with no outs. Why do we want to put the pressure of the world on the next guy? Let's get our RBI and you probably take your hit. So, I have to go with my gut in a lot of different scenarios, or all of them, after we've prepared and know what we're up against. But really it comes down to is do your players believe and are they intentional about doing it? I like to give our guys freedom and options and say, if this is what you're feeling in these situations, I try to teach them moments in time so that then when they experience that again, hopefully they'll trust their intuition. If a player has great reasoning for why he decides to do something on his own, and it's you know, it's a level of trust, but you know, it's all about learning moments, and you got to have a lot of faith and trust that things are going to work out the way they're supposed to. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm not a bunting guy or a bunting guy, but I've got a really fast team with some athleticism, and depending on the lineup that I have out there, would probably answer that question more than, like, my personal opinion. Personally, I wish they'd all just listen, and we just drive the gap and stay on pitches and not pull off and, you know, be great with two strikes and fight pitches to get to a mistake, but... you know, they're kids too. You got to have some freedom.
Coach, I'm trying to hold back my laughter so I don't drown you out of the conversation. That's why you're still coaching and I am an unemployed 20-year coach, because I never changed over the 20 years of just refusing to bunt. But last question before we hit into that podcast, Killing Double Play. Where can we find a schedule? What time is opening the home opener on Saturday at beautiful University of Dubuque campus? Plug your social media as well.
Yeah, Dan Runkel Field will be at noon Saturday against St. Norbert. Should be a good team coming in. This is probably most of the people said I was crazy for scheduling this, but we were trying to just make sure we could fill a schedule, and this is how it worked out. But after this weekend, we're going to have a little bit of time off, which isn't maybe ideal, but I think we've been challenged quite a bit here. So hopefully come watch us, you know, finish this first third of the season and moving on to getting close to conference play stuff. So, but yeah, udspartans.com. And then I do have some guys that have gotten our Twitter social media things going as well. I believe it's UD Spartan.
Coach Spain, thanks again for joining me on the Dubuque Area Sports Podcast. Best of luck to you and all of the Spartans on your 2024 quest for a championship in 6-4-3. We're out of here.